Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Conscious Vibe Podcast,
where we elevate intellect through conscious dialogue
while exploring race, politics, business, and culture.
I'm Dr. Daryl L. Jones.
And I'm Charles D. Mitchell. Welcome to Conscious Conversations, gentlemen. Welcome back.
Hello, Charles.
Hello, DJ. I want to ask a question around fan interaction when it comes to, you know, the new media, the fan media, and the dialogue and conversations they have that sometimes steps outside the lines of a conversation with an athlete about the game or a performance that you won't necessarily see in what we would call the traditional realm of media, and that line that you just don't cross. How do you guys feel about that in terms of, you know, what that does to degrade in some ways, you know, the authenticity of, you know, that media representative who's trying to provide an angle on something that perhaps we shouldn't be seeing?
We were talking about social media in the last episode. I think this kind of bodes well with, I think, fans and people who are consuming media, whether it be NBA or NFL media. You're taking in stuff that is making you very comfortable as a fan with the players, right? We're talking about how you get to know that player more. And I think in this sense, it could be to a fault, because when those players are walking into the stadium or the arena or wherever, you know, they're performing, that's their business. That's them going to work. And so I think as fans, when we see them walking out there, we get all excited, and there's things we've seen on social media, and there's so many, you know, we're so caught up in it, we don't realize that some of the things that they're saying are actually, like, for example, Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm.
As a human being, as a professional, as one of the best players we've watched, Russell Westbrook, you know, he shouldn't be taking hate like that.
Calling him Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, over time, that's his last name. You know, that's the name that he carries with him. And so,
you look like you got something you want to say.
It's coming.
Okay.
And that's obviously a lighter example. It can go way deeper, though. You know, sometimes they're calling out, you know, certain comments about their family members or things in their personal lives that doesn't have to do with the professional aspect, yeah, of being an NBA player. And so I think that's where it's just reaching too far. Fans need to have an understanding of these are business professionals in a sense. Yep.
Do they? And what I mean by that is, and I'm probably going to give you guys a surprising answer here, but someone's getting paid $10 million, $20 million to play a fucking game. Guess what? You put yourself out there. You knew what you were signing up for. You sign a contract for $25 million a year that's on the front page of every newspaper, every website, and you think you're not going to take any shit if you underperform? That's sports.
Well, I think
it's just on a different... If correct. I didn't play well in high school, my coach yelled at me, and maybe some of the dads. And the only difference is that for a professional athlete, it's just on a bigger scale. Now, what happened to, for example, Chris Paul's family during mm-hmm. the playoffs? Mm-hmm. That's unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
On the other hand, if fans want to get after a player and they want to get to that line, I think that's completely appropriate.
Well, I mean, I agree with you about performing. I mean, if you don't perform well, you're making $25 million. You're subject to criticism.
I mean, Russell Westbrook.
That should happen,
right? It fits.
Well, I don't know if you call him Westbrook. But I think the reality of it is that it doesn't go beyond what happens on the court or on the field. When we have to think about things that happen personally in people's families and take it to that level, I think it's out of bounds. So I do understand what you're saying. I do understand. I think that there is an expectation that you do perform because that's what you get paid to do. Just like if I don't perform in my job or you don't perform in your job, guess what? There's going to be consequences.
And don't you think that one of the issues here is that with society, we used to have a more finite line that existed, and we are much more willing to cross that line now than we ever were before.
Why do you think that is?
I think part of it's got to be social media. There's no doubt that people are way more comfortable.
Yes.
And I think that there's also a level of knowledge that fan base has never had before about players and their families.
We're seeing it in stadium, though. So even take social media out of it, whether it's Kyrie Irving, shit, it goes back to Meta, right? Devin, where the fan in the seat, I call them chair bullies, feel they can say anything they want to a player on the court and there's no repercussion. Maybe I'll get kicked out a game or two.
But what's the line?
To me, the line is, as a fan, you shouldn't be having direct conversations with players.
So is "you suck, Devin" a direct conversation?
Well, you take it a step further and say, F Draymond Green, and he can't say anything back, or the NBA is going to give him a $50,000 fine.
You suck to me is...
He can afford it.
That's not the point. It's not right.
You go. "You suck, Devin" is definitely a direct conversation. I think it's the veracity of it that matters, and the repetitive nature of it. And you can antagonize someone, but what we're seeing is actually beyond that too, in cases where people are throwing cups and throwing towels and yelling things about family members, the Chris Paul incident, right? You're dealing with men, and you're dealing with women
who have families. And you would never do it in their face outside the arena.
Isn't that what Twitter is all about?
Would you do it if you were alone with that person?
You would never do it.
That's always my.
No.
That's my line. So if you would say, "fuck you, Devin," or "you suck, Devin," if you were alone with Devin, you can say whatever you want. Mm-hmm. That's my. Right. Why does your chest start to puff? Because there are 10 people around you that look like you. I've never been a fan of bullies, and I despise them to this day. The chair bullies I really have a problem with. So if you'll say it to me or to them or when you're alone, have at it. I think that will cut out about 95% of it, though.
I think that's a extremely good point. I'm not sure I agree, DJ, but I think it's an extremely good point. I think that there is a expectation, though, amongst athletes that you're going to take some shit.
Absolutely.
And some of it's deserved, some of it's not deserved. Absolutely. But as someone, we were talking about Chicago earlier, someone who grew up at the old Chicago Stadium, with season tickets for the Blackhawks and the Bulls.
You were going to get it.
Opposing teams were going to get it. And that was just an expectation. And have we gotten softer today? Probably. Is that because that line has probably been moved?
We're a lot more sensitive, that's for sure.
I think that has to do with social media, too. I think, at the end of the day, when players go on their social media, you could see it with Russell Westbrook. He's responding to, Skip Bayless and guys of that nature where, I mean, Russell Westbrook's got enough going on in my eyes. He wouldn't really take the time to go on Twitter and comment back to someone unless if it's getting in there a little bit. I mean, really, you're Russell Westbrook. You're going to hop on Twitter and respond to Skip Bayless. I mean, obviously, if it's getting to that point,
which is what Skip wants.
That's exactly what he's doing.
He's antagonizing.
Like he does today.
Yeah.
Go buy another Lamborghini. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's an interesting phenomenon. But I tell you, at times it can detract from the whole experience as true fans.
100%. 100%.
And that becomes not just the sidelight, but the actual conversation. Hey, did you see what happened? No, I don't really care about that. I do think some of the things that have happened recently around you'll never be allowed back in the stadium again. If we see more of that, that may temper it a bit.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, you want fans to engage and cheer for your team. But now we've gotten into this whole thing about hating the other team and other players automatically. It's like, well, damn. Does that mean you love your team anymore?
I won't go to NFL games anymore. For that exact reason.
Isn't it crazy?
It's not fun.
They're the worst.
Anymore. Yeah. I used to have season tickets for the Cardinals. It's not fun. I couldn't take my daughter. There's fights throughout the entire game. People are just throwing beer cups. They're yelling at fans at the other team, swearing, getting into fights. And it is just not worth it. So you're 100% correct that it takes the fun out of being a fan.
You know what? You shouldn't hate anybody. The only team you should ever hate is Duke. So thank you for joining us in Conscious Conversations.
Thank you for joining us.
And check us out on tcvpodcast.com.